WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. The dust is just beginning to settle on the presidential campaign trail as the candidates spent their last day wooing voters into the night. Vice President Harris held a series of events in Pennsylvania, concluding with a late rally in Philadelphia at the iconic Museum of Art steps.
Here at these famous steps, a tribute to those who start as the underdog and climb to victory.
This supporter likes the Democrats' chances.
Very optimistic, and I think that Pennsylvania is going to show out for Harris and Wolf.
Former President Donald Trump wrapped up a three-state swing and his campaign in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
It's unbelievable. Think of it. This is it. This is the last one that we're going to have to do.
CBS's Ed O'Keefe tells us Trump has been bringing up voter fraud in recent days.
It has been a part of appealing to a base that agrees with him. Will it be enough to win over those undecided voters in the final hours? I'd be surprised if it did, because if you're someone who agrees with him, you've probably been on board for a lot longer than just the last 12 hours or so.
In California, elections officials are taking precautions with possible power shutoffs coming.
In addition to ballot sorting machines, the Registrar of Voters here in Santa Clara County also has backup generators if PG&E activates a public safety power shutoff due to high fire danger. Acting Registrar Matt Morales.
We want to assure the public in this county that we are taking every possible precaution to ensure a fair, accurate, safe, and secure election process.
Matt Bigler for CBS News, San Jose, California.
59% of striking Boeing workers voted to approve a new labor contract with the company. Union Local President John Holden made the announcement.
Tonight, our membership voted to accept this contract by 59%.
Oh. Yeah! Yeah!
The contract raises wages 38% over 4 years, but without a pension. There's another reason to be concerned about the widespread use of pesticides.
Researchers have discovered a link between nearly 24 commonly used pesticides and prostate cancer in the U.S. 4 of them are also linked with prostate cancer deaths. The findings are published in an online peer-reviewed journal of the American Cancer Society.
CBS's Jim Crisula. Tropical storm Rafael will likely hit Cuba as a hurricane. It is also expected to bring heavy rainfall to Florida and portions of the U.S. Southeast later this week, according to the National Hurricane Center. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
College basketball underway. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's team opened up their season with an 85-61 win over Holy Cross in Madison. Head coach Greg Gard asked if he's determined who his starting five are going to be.
That was my main message to him tonight. As we go on this journey over the next five and a half months, we have to be together because it's going to be different people on different nights. Who starts, in my mind, I've never talked about it and made a big deal of who is starting. Everybody knows they need to be ready.
In Milwaukee, number 18th ranked Marquette with a 102-62 win over Stony Brook. UW Green Bay lost their opener on the road at Oklahoma State 89-76 under new head coach Doug Gottlieb. Baseball, the Brewers' Matt Arnold has been named Major League Baseball's Executive of the Year. Pitcher Frankie Montez will become a free agent after declining his option. NBA, the Bucks battled but let it slip away in the final minute, losing in Cleveland 116-114. The Bucks host the Utah Jazz on Thursday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Martha Stewart might be dealing with a hangover due to her displeasure with her biopic Martha on Netflix. While promoting her new cookbook during an appearance on a game show similar to Family Feud, she took a shot at Ryan Reynolds. When asked which actors she would like to hang out with in real life, she listed George Clooney, her pal Snoop Dogg, and Brad Pitt, but made a point to say Ryan Reynolds is not funny in real life, adding that he is very serious. She also acknowledged her comments might not go over so well since the two are neighbors in real life. Despite the final season of of Succession bringing Kieran Culkin his first Golden Globe Award, the actor has still not seen the series finale. In a recent appearance on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, Culkin said he missed it because he was in Poland filming a movie and then went right to a vacation with his family. The actor told Colbert he knows what happens, but just sort of missed his chance. If only there was a way he could still watch it. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some sprinkles of light rain making their way through the area in the overnight. Mostly cloudy skies, a light north to northeast wind developing. Mid-40s expected by sunrise. Election day forecast looks wet with rain chances. Afternoon highs in the mid-50s. Currently 49 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it is here. It is election day. Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. Make sure you go to vote. Make sure you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Jane, how are you? I'm great. I can't complain. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Like I said, it's been too long. Yes. You're a very busy guy. We understand that. And so thank you for carving some time out for us. We're going to talk about food a little later. Let's talk first, though, about the poll. The Marquette University Law Poll is a big standard. It's been around for a long time. And we've joked on our show, Derek, about anybody essentially can start a poll. You can have Stan and Dan's America Integrity Polling, that because there's no registration, there's no licensing that you have to go through to get to start a polling firm. But if you actually want accurate results, you have to be able to show your work, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what we take a lot of pride here at the Lubar Center. So the Lubar Center is sort of like the umbrella organization here at Marquette Law School for the Marquette Law Poll. The Law Poll is run by Dr. Charles Franklin. He's the director of the poll. He's part of our Lubar Center team. But it's worth noting that the Marquette Law School poll was ranked as the third most accurate and prestigious poll in the country. And that's pretty good, behind New York Times and the Siena poll. Those predate us by some time. And so for an outfit like us, it's a pretty good accolade to get the third most popular poll, respected poll. And for the reasons you said, Jane, it's respected because we put out a full list of not just the results, but how we got to those results, who we polled, the methodology, everything in regards to the polling.
Well, and that's why I try to caution folks to stay. All of a sudden, we're getting flooded with all these polls people have never heard of. And that's, I guess, my whole point, that anybody can do this and talk to five people and claim we have 100% support for Donald Trump, and some right-wing podcaster who has no experience with how polls work picks that up and starts spreading that message. So I tend to tell folks to take polls with a grain of salt, especially if it's not one that you're familiar with, like the Marquette poll.
Yeah, and we're exclusively Wisconsin, right? So our poll, we're one of the few polls in the country which polls Wisconsin regularly. Even when it's not an election season, we're constantly polling about different things, whether it's the president, the Senate race, the Supreme Court races, all of those things, and the popularity of our governors, mayors. And so I think that's what makes us different from a lot of polls. And that's why a lot of the other polls and a lot of the major news organizations have been here a lot just to figure out what's going on in this battleground state. We were on 60 Minutes 2 weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if you guys saw that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Really quick, when isn't it election season, sir? You just
right.
said when it's not. It's just because it feels like every year is an election season, and I would love to know this magical place where there's no elections happening.
Yeah, there really isn't, right? Whether it's a spring election, like most nonpartisan elections are in the spring, or it's a partisan election like we have coming up this November, there's always something going on, always.
Well, we're going to have another Supreme Court race next year.
Absolutely. And we're already gearing up for that with our polling in regards to not the candidates so so much right now, but about how do residents feel about the Wisconsin Supreme Court, things like that.
And that's a question I have for you is, you know, they just released the final poll before the election tomorrow. Is it like, all right, everyone take a week off, have some fun? Or is it, you know, we release that poll, all right, Monday we start working on the next one, spring or whenever it's going to be? Is that process, and how does it work?
Absolutely. So it still keeps going. It doesn't end because the election takes place tomorrow. A number of things that we're doing over here at the Lubar Center is we're going to have an event November 21st where we're going to do our little postmortem. One of our, I guess you could call them our number one policy. I guess he's a policy advisor here at the poll, John Johnson. He is actually comprising all the polling back to 2000.
Oh, wow.
All the different elections and polling back to 2000. And we're going to have an event where we talk about what's changed, what's become redder, what's become bluer, what stayed the same. And so that's going to be a great event. And then, you know, like you mentioned, Greg, we're going to keep polling on different things as well, but it doesn't end tomorrow.
No, me. You don't get to take it. No, sorry, there's no little break.
I thought maybe just take all right, folks, take a half day tomorrow, you know, enjoy it.
No. In fact, I would tell your listeners to they might want to jump on our polling. So I'll just give the website for the poll.
Sure.
Just so they have it. It's law.marquette, all spelled out, .edu/poll, P-O-L-L. People sometimes put P-O-L-E, but it's P-O-L-L. And the reason why I'm putting out that website address is because on Friday, we should have everything tallied up from all the 72 counties in regards to how people voted in regards to the election tomorrow.
If you're just joining us, Derek Mosley is our guest. He's the head of the Lubar Center for the Marquette University Law School. And we're talking about polls and the election in general. Derek, what do you say to folks who say, well, and I'm 64 years old and I only got polled once. And because I've always worked in the media, I told them, I work in the media. You probably don't want me. And so, yeah, they didn't take my response. But not everybody is going to get polled. I think sometimes people think, well, they've never called me. Therefore, you know, it's not valid.
Right. Well, there's a whole lot of people that live in this state. And when we do the national polls, they live across the country. So I get it. I know there are people that I don't know anybody's been polled. I've never been polled. I don't think they're accurate. But just know that Dr. Franklin puts in his methodology for the poll has led to the reputation that we have. And, you know, his reputation, Marquette Law School's reputation, is all on the poll as well. So we take it very seriously.
And I think when you talk about a matter of trustworthy is heavy word now in these elections where it's I can come to you with 50 pieces of evidence and say, this is why this is happening. And you're like, no, I said, the fact that you have such a wonderful reputation, I think says a lot in this political climate, this American climate right now, that people turn to you and say, nope, we can trust the work they do.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're a law school.
Yeah.
And so to us, facts and the law matter. So, we take that very seriously.
That the whole facts thing. Yeah. It's not just you don't just intuitively know things. You actually have to, know the details and the facts about the things that always helps.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I like that. You have to know the facts about the things.
Yes. It's important. It's those details. It's those little details. What else should people know about the poll to reassure them? What else can you tell folks?
Well, I think the thing that Dr. Franklin always tells, and I can give the Lubar Center's website as well, which I'll do a little bit later, but all of our polling events, so once we do the poll, we do a full event for it. So it's a Q&A with myself and Dr. Franklin. We open up to the audience because all of them are public. We do them over lunch. And so those are all recorded, and people can go on our website and watch all the information about anything you might want, have any questions about the poll methodology, how many people are surveyed, the percentage of Republicans, the percentage of Democrats, the percentage of independents, you know, things like that. So you get a good feel for what that information is going to be all about. But the thing that Dr. Franklin always ends with on our last poll that we did last week was polls don't vote.
Right.
Mm-hmm. People vote.
Right.
And so it's important that if you don't like the results, go vote.
Yeah.
Well, and we've talked too about yard signs don't vote, and yes, flags don't vote, and T-shirts don't vote, and all of those. It's all great, and it shows enthusiasm, yes, but that is not reflective of the count, the ultimate count at the end.
Right. I mean, I drive around Milwaukee all the time, just coming to and from work, and I think people believe that the more signs you have in your yard, the likelihood that your candidate's going to win. I mean, one sign gets it, right? I drive by, I could read that one sign. When you have 15 in your yard, then that that doesn't change much.
That reminds me, I got to take up, there's three properties by my house that are, I mean, when I say covered, I don't mean like there's 10 or 15. I mean, it's like a carnival's amount of signs. And I want to take, I'll take a picture. I'll send it to both of you and we'll put it on, we can put it on the show notes as well. But I'm like, we get it. That's your personality, but that's really probably two votes in that house right there.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. And I think too, Derek, and we've talked about this quite a bit just in the last couple of weeks, especially for women. And this has caused some outrage on the right that women might be casting ballots and not telling their husbands that they're voting for Kamala Harris. I think that's a wider spread phenomenon than people realize.
I mean, but that's nothing. It's not unique, right? I mean, a lot of people say that's the recent Kennedy one. They went into the polling place. Their husbands weren't voting for Kennedy, but you know, a lot of wives liked Kennedy, loved Jackie O, mm-hmm. and loved what the family stood for. And we're like, well, I'm just going to cast my vote there. So that's not a unique phenomenon. We'll see how big that turns out to be, though.
Yeah, your vote's private. No one knows who you vote for.
No one knows when you go in the voting booth. No one knows how you vote. They will know that you voted, and that's how you get targeted for text messages and fundraising messages and all of those things. And that's why we were encouraging people to go vote early, Derek, so that the campaigns can then direct those resources to people who have not yet cast a ballot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The thing I heard, that one of the funniest things I heard during the poll, our poll release, was someone said, can we pass a law that as soon as you vote, that you can opt out of every commercial, every text, everything. Wouldn't that be great?
Oh, that TV. Boy, if you could tie that to the TV commercials, we'd have people. No one would show up on election day. It would just, they'd all be done. They would all have voted. We're going to continue our conversation with Derek Mosley from the Lubar Center. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. She don't mean no harm. She just.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Alba Show.
Matt Flynn joining us. This is a text off the text line. Quote, I'm dreading that it's a little too late. The last few weeks of polls are extremely bleak.
This is not the time to get wobbly. The polls right now still show her in the lead between 2 to 3 points. She used to be ahead by 5 points. So what?
Charles Franklin at Marquette Law School says polls don't vote. People do. Have a plan. Be a voter, Matt.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Professor Charles Franklin from Marquette University Law School. This is the last poll before we will go to the polls.
In the presidential race, we have it at a 1-point Harris lead, 48-47, with 5% undecided. And how those people make up their minds, who to vote for or if to vote, that's easily enough to sway this race.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. We are joined by our guest, Derek Mosley. He is the head of the Lubar Center at the Marquette University Law School. Derek, tell us a little bit about this new interactive election tool that you're going to be coming out with.
Yeah, so that's going to just what I was talking about on Friday. So there, you're going to be able to hop on our on this website, and the website will you'll drag your cursor over different counties, and you'll be able to see how many people voted, how many people voted for who they voted for, as far as numbers are concerned. Mm-hmm. And so we'll have that on Friday, which is something that's pretty unusual. Normally you don't get that information for weeks and weeks and weeks after. But like I mentioned before, John Johnson, here at the Lubar Center has put together a program where he's able to extract all that information a lot quicker than usual and then put it out for the public's use. So the site I gave before with the law poll, that information will be available for you just to, with your cursor on your computer, just to scroll by a county and see exactly the numbers and who voted for who.
We will have that, all of that stuff in our show notes, by the way, Derek. If you want to check out any of these links, go to civicmedia.us and go to shows and click on Matinair on Air, and that will take you to all of our archives and all of the show notes that Greg puts together.
Yeah. I've also added Derek's Instagram and Facebook handles in there because it is worth the follow.
I appreciate that. I really do appreciate that.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about food. We love talking food with you and the ethnic heritage dinners in particular, Derek. What's that about?
Yeah. So just a quick review for those who don't know about us at the Lubar Center. So our goal is to bring people together of different cultures, religions, nationalities, political ideologies in the same room to listen and learn from each other. Right. Unfortunately, we live in a country where most of us don't live in the same neighborhood. Our kids don't go to the same schools, and we know very little about each other. So we wanted to be the place where people can come in and have these conversations. And one of the ways we do that, one of my first loves, is food. Right. Food is very disarming. It's a thing where people get together. They can sit down, share a meal, and have a conversation. It doesn't have to be heated. It could just be fellowship. Right. So we decided to do these things called ethnic heritage dinners. And we wait till ethnic heritage month. And during those months, I bring chefs in to prepare meals for that particular culture. So we have one actually coming up November 18th. Tickets will be going on sale this week. So if you want to, people who are on our mailing list get first dibs sure. on the tickets. We'll put it afterwards. I can put it whatever, however you guys post. But it's Marquette, it's law.marquette.edu/Lubar, L-U-B-A-R dash center, C-E-N-T-E-R. Join our mailing list, and then you will get first dibs on the tickets. We only sell 250 tickets.
And they go really fast.
And yeah, we've had this will be our eighth dinner. Everyone is sold out within hours. So it's important that people jump on and do it. But this one's one of my favorites of the ethnic heritage dinners. Don't get me wrong. I love Black History Month and our dinner because that's the food I grew up on. But November is Native Heritage Month, Native American Heritage Month. And so we have put together chefs of various cultures. So we have Menominee, Potawatomi, Ho-Chunk, and Oneida chefs who will be preparing traditional, not colonized, traditional Native dishes. And a little secret, we have two of the judges who were featured on Top Chef Wisconsin.
Oh, wow.
Top Chef Wisconsin. They will be preparing meals. Chef Elena Terry and Chef Jessica Walks First will be the two chefs that will be preparing meals for the dinner.
Did I just sign up for the Lubar Center email list? I did, because the last three times I tried to go to the Heritage Dinner, it sold out.
Yeah, they go really quick.
They go quick.
Yeah, yeah, they do.
But our motto is, you know, meet someone, because when you get there, we sit you at tables with people you don't know. Our second motto is learn something, because you're going to learn not only about the culture of the food you're eating, but you're going to hear from the chefs that prepared it and why it was important to those nations. And then finally, try everything, because we do. We want you to try everything there. And so I love these dinners. And we have entertainment. So we will have smoke dancers. We'll have the big drum. And you will learn a little bit about the culture as well. So I love these dinners because it exposes you to things that you can't see. There are no Native American restaurants here in southeastern Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So there's only one in the whole state, and that's up in Madeline Island.
And what kinds of things will be on the menu? Do you know? Do you have any
idea? I know, but I can't tell. The chef's secret.
Chefs
have told me to keep it a secret because we want to make sure that people come in and try everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I could tell you. I mean, it's a fantastic event, and it's probably one of those events where, you know, there's not a lot of places in the state where you go and you'll see everybody, right? Blacks, whites, Asians, Latinos, Natives, all together eating, having a great meal. And a lot of things that a lot of people don't realize this. You hear it all the time. When you say Native American, they almost seem like they're like this homogenous culture, right? It's like, oh, they're Native Americans, but those are all individual nations, right? And, you know, we have 12 of them here. And so that's individual nations that have a different type of food, a different type of cuisine, how they prepare the food, but they have the basics, right? They call them the Three Sisters: squash, beans, rice, wild rice. You know, those are important cultures, but there's other things in there too that I can't wait for people to try.
The dinner is November 18th, you said?
Yes, it's November 18th at the Ivy House, 906 South Barclay in Milwaukee. Doors open at 5 p.m. Dinner served at 5:30. It is a ticketed event, and we will ask for your tickets. It's been crazy pop. I saw people reselling our tickets on Facebook Marketplace.
Now who wants some Native Heritage dinner tickets? Who? I got two.
Now you made it. Now you know you
made
it.
Do you also want some fine watches or some fine toasters?
And we only charge $30.
Oh,
and
that's a steal.
That money's used to go to the chefs. I mean, we want everybody. We want this to be an event for everybody, not just the rich folks.
Derek Mosley has been our guest. He's the head of the Lubar Center at Marquette University Law School. Thank you so very much, Derek. Take care. Go
vote. Thank you.
News is next when we return how not to commit election fraud. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
CBS News Brief. Former President Donald Trump held his last rally of the 2024 campaign with a late-night appearance in Raleigh, North Carolina.
All we have to do is close it out. We have to close it out. If we get our vote, there's nothing they can do.
Vice President Harris concentrated on Pennsylvania, including a stop in Pittsburgh.
Let's be true to what our campaign has been about from the very start, which is to be intentional about building community.
The strike against Boeing is over, with the union members accepting the company's contract offer. The announcement got a mixed reaction at a Seattle union hall.
Yeah! Yeah!
Local union president John Holden.
It's time for us to come together. This is a victory. We can hold our heads high. We all stood strong.
The yes vote was 59%. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
College basketball underway. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's team opened up their season with an 85-61 win over Holy Cross in Madison. Head coach Greg Gard asked if he's determined who his starting five are going to be.
That was my main message to him tonight. As we go on this journey over the next five and a half months, we have to be together because it's going to be different people on different nights. Who starts, in my mind, I've never talked about it or made a big deal of who is starting. Everybody knows they need to be ready.
In Milwaukee, number 18th ranked Marquette with a 102-62 win over Stony Brook. UW Green Bay lost their opener on the road at Oklahoma State 89-76 under new head coach Doug Gottlieb. Baseball, the Brewers' Matt Arnold has been named Major League Baseball's Executive of the Year. Pitcher Frankie Montez will become a free agent after declining his option. NBA, the Bucks battled but let it slip away in the final minute, losing in Cleveland 116-114. The Bucks host the Utah Jazz on Thursday with sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Barbenheimer 2.0 is just around the corner with films Gladiator 2 and Wicked kicking off the holiday box office season in a couple weeks. However, last weekend's box office did not impress. The movie Here, starring Tom Hanks, Robin Wright, and directed by Robert Zemeckis, landed with a thud on opening weekend. Here did not review particularly well, and audience approval is hovering at around 60%. The film whiffed big time with only a $5 million opening weekend, which landed it in fifth place overall. Repeating as box office champ following its opening weekend is Venom: The Last Dance. The third and final chapter of DC's Venom franchise took in $26 million domestically. Rounding out the top five are The Wild Robot in second place, Smile 2 at number three, and Conclave at number four. Another disappointment at the box office was Liam Neeson's new action film Absolution, which finished in 12th place, barely cracking $1 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some sprinkles and light rain making their way through the area in the overnight. Mostly cloudy skies. A light north to northeast wind developing. Mid-40s expected by sunrise. Election day forecast looks wet with rain chances. Afternoon highs in the mid-50s. Currently 49 degrees.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Liz Cheney, famous not Democrat, endorsed Kamala Harris for president.
I know that the most conservative of conservative values is fidelity to our Constitution.
Liz Cheney said that.
I tell you, I have never voted for a Democrat, but this year I am proudly casting my vote for Vice President Kamala Harris.
Patriotism above partisanship.
Listen to Rational Revolution with Mark Becker wherever you get your podcasts.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for Election Day coverage. Wisconsin Decides 2024. We'll have all the news of Election Day as it unfolds from our election headquarters. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up with Dom Salvia today from 4 to 6 p.m. He will be joined by Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chair Ben Wickler for the final time before people head to the polls tomorrow, Election Day. We're at day one. One day until Election Day. Be a voter, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody who's anybody is a voter. Make sure people around you, your friends and family are going to vote. Maybe call a couple friends today. Make it a thing.
Make it a plan.
Make it a party. Go to lunch. Go to vote. Go to lunch. It's important.
Go to civicmedia.us/vote/vote click on that. Go to that website and you can find out information. If you have questions, call your municipality's clerk's office. They can answer everything. It's closed right now for voting, but you can register tomorrow. You can vote tomorrow, but they'll tell you the hours. They'll tell you what you need, but talk to them first because they will give you the legit exact information you so desire when it's coming to this, because you don't want to get, you don't want to go there and be turned away because you don't have the right ID or
the right documentation. Exactly.
No, you want to be informed.
Yep. Go to civicmedia.us/vote. You can also go to myvote.wy.gov. Of course, coming up in about 15 minutes, we're going to wrap up the show as we do every day now with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's the mic check edition. Yeah. If you ever have a thing that should not be, send it into Greg and me at Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. If you ever have a guest that you would like us to have on, if there's something going on in your community, no matter where you are across the state, you can be in La Crosse, you can be in Amory, you can be in Hayward, use that same email, JaneSays@civicmedia.us. All right. If you're going to commit voter fraud,
which is on my things to do today.
Is it?
Yes.
Commit voter fraud?
Correct.
Don't do it like this.
Yeah.
A former Redding, California landlord is in a little bit of trouble after he posted some things on Reddit. 70-year-old Charles Pierce is the former landlord of some apartments in Redding, California. He says he got mail-in ballots for four previous tenants at those apartments. He posted to Reddit that he used all four of those ballots to cast votes for former President Donald Trump and in order to vote no on some rent control and school board measures in his county. You can't do that, sir.
No, not one bit.
Yeah, you can't do that. The county clerk and registrar of voters has said they have turned the case over now to the DA. I've never seen a situation where someone actually went onto a social media site and basically bragged about committing voter fraud. Not only is it a criminal offense, naturally it undermines the election process. When someone votes more than once, they dilute the vote of every other registered voter. That is a fundamental unfairness. Pierce says now, though, he didn't actually do what he posted. In a statement, he says he did not engage in any illegal activities, adding that his posts were hyperbole and that he was just too good at inflaming and angering his audience. He says the situation has been blown out of proportion and is so bogus.
Wait a minute.
He's a 70-year-old man.
He's a 70-year-old man. Well, I
guess
he
lives in California.
He's 7 years old. He's
so totally bogus.
So voter fraud is not tubular. You know who really inflames Mr. Pierce? The DA and the clerk's office and maybe even the marshals who might investigate you as well. You did it, dude. Even if you didn't do what you're saying, the very fact that you made the claim you wanted to or you could, that's enough for me, because here's what I'm tired of. And if you were listening to Earl Ingram's show 2 weeks ago, we had on Wisconsin senator and conspiracy theory specialist tinfoil hat wearing Ron Johnson.
Yeah.
He said on his show that the Democrats are the ones who are
committing
cheating,
voter fraud,
committing voter fraud. The ones who are interested in cheating. What is that? It is so angering to me because every time now we see Not every time. Great many times we see people who are committing voter fraud are Republicans.
Yes.
They're voting for their family. They're voting for their former tenants. This is just absolutely, there shouldn't be, nobody should be doing it. I don't care who you are and who you're voting for. You're voting for Kamala Harris through voter fraud. Go to jail. Get fined.
Yes.
You're a criminal.
Yes.
For the right, I don't care. But this notion of like, I did it, but I didn't do it. And you're just being triggered because you're a bunch of libs who took the punchline. No, this isn't a punchline. This is our process. This is our democracy. And I'm sorry if I sound fired up again, but this really upsets me.
Well, it undermines folks' faith in the election.
Yep.
And that's how we ended up with the attack on the U.S. Capitol on January 6th of 2021.
Yep.
All of these lies, because they were lies about massive election fraud, massive voter fraud. There were 60 court cases.
Yeah.
Every single one of them failed. We spent in Wisconsin alone over $1 million to give Michael Gableman all this cash to go run around the country and attend symposiums put on by the MyPillow guy who had complete, absolute evidence of voter fraud, of which none was ever produced.
And this man, regardless of if he actually did it, the threat to me, there needs to be some consequences.
Yes.
Because if we don't have consequences for individuals who are doing this and they simply said, oh, I was just having fun and it was a joke, then guess what? That breeds more people who do the same thing. It's like that kid who stole all those yard signs. 60 of them.
Yep.
Should he go to jail for the rest of his life? No. But there should be a consequence. And that should show other people, hey, you do this, we will take it seriously and you'll be fined or go to jail.
There will be ramifications for your behavior. That's what we talked about this last week.
Yes.
The guy who went to a ballot demonstration.
Yes.
And took two sample ballots. They were demonstrating how the count happens.
Yep.
And he pockets these two sample ballots and then whispers to a woman, yeah, the count's going to be off. The count's going to be off. He's trying to prove election fraud by committing election fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And they caught him.
Yep.
Which
why?
Is what the system is supposed to do, because the system works.
Because he was on camera, because they have a system. They do everything they can. They do everything they can to make sure that our voting process is safe and fair and free. And you know who thinks that?
Brian Schimming.
And Robin Voss.
That's right. Calvin, I believe we have a clip from Brian Schimming. He is the head of the Wisconsin Republican Party, correct?
Uh-huh.
Let's hear from Brian Schimming on how he feels about election integrity in Wisconsin.
When you hear him talk about fraud in Pennsylvania already, does that give you any heartburn as state party chairman as to what could potentially come here?
Well, we have the biggest election integrity operation we've had in Wisconsin history for the Wisconsin State Republican Party. So I feel confident that we're catching things, and we have, as we've gone through the weeks that are going on. There are things that might go on that we don't see, but we're doing a much better job than we were even 4 years ago. But there's so much intensity. There's on-site registrations and voting, and we have 6,000 poll workers to watch that.
You feel confident that this will be a safe and secure election in the state?
I think it will certainly be safer and more secure than it was 2 and 4 and 6 years ago. But time will tell. I mean, for me, it's about openness and the transparency
of the
caveat.
Election
process.
Yeah.
If that happens, we'll be in a lot better shape.
Now, that's from WISN Upfront.
Correct.
That's where that sound clip is from. That's Brian Schimming saying he feels confident in the security of our elections, and then tags on that little, as long as it's transparent, it'll be transparent.
Which we heard Eric Hovde and Glenn Grothman pulling the same garbage. Well, I think it was fair, but we don't know. No, we do know. We do know. And it's an insult to the over 1,800 clerks in this state.
Absolutely.
To sow any sort of fear and anxiety and mistrust in people who their entire career is making sure that our processes are safe, that our right to vote is safe. And hey, you got proof? Bring it on. MyPillow guy, he's been saying he's got proof for 4 years. He has not produced a single shred of it in court. The president, former president, I should say, same thing. Want to bring that stuff forward? Watch him on Joe Rogan stutter and stammer because he just gets asked the question, are you going to bring it forward? Well,
there's so much I could bring.
Absolutely.
I would encourage you to find that Joe Rogan clip when he was on the podcast. Donald Trump was on Joe Rogan's podcast for 3 hours.
That's too much for anything. I've not listened to my favorite person on a podcast for 3 hours.
But Joe Rogan said, well, you keep talking about all this evidence you have of massive voter fraud and why you lost the election. When are you going to bring it up? And as you said, Greg, I have so much.
Judges he appointed threw those cases out.
Yeah.
So I just, once again, I'm fired up today, Jane.
I can tell.
We have really good people in this state doing a really good job. And I don't know who they vote for, these clerks. I'm sure some of them vote GOP, some of them vote liberal. And hey, maybe some of them are voting for Jill Stein. If that's the case, what are you doing? But point is, it's so easy to sit up on high chairs and say, well, we don't know what happened, when there is a mountain of evidence in front of you and you choose not to look at it. You choose not to do the right thing, which is for the people. Our voting is safe, period. And to continue this narrative 4 years on, I mean, as we said earlier in the show today, folks, they're going to claim victory tomorrow.
No matter what.
When the New York polls close, when the California polls close, he's going to call for the stoppage of the counting at 10 o'clock.
Yes.
Our time, because he did it at 2:30 in the morning last time. Don't worry about that. The counts will continue.
Yeah. You don't get to stop the count.
No.
That isn't how it works.
The Supreme Court doesn't come and go, all right, stop it.
Done. You're done now.
Stop it.
No, that's not how it works. Another thing, here in Wisconsin, there will be late ballots coming in Milwaukee.
Yep.
And we can thank Wisconsin Republicans in the Wisconsin Senate. We could have started counting those ballots earlier.
Yes.
Which would have produced the results earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And it died in the Wisconsin Senate thanks to Devin Lemahieu and the other Republicans there. So when they start screeching when the count in Milwaukee isn't finished by midnight, call Devin Lemahieu and tell him thank you.
Yeah.
Because this is because of you.
And honestly, those ballot dumps, which is what they're called, those ballot dumps and the late night counting, that is to ensure the safety of those elections.
Yes.
They're going to take their time. They're not owed.
Or do you want them zipping through it, or do you want them to get it right?
We're not owed a fast election. We're owed a fair election. And if it takes them time, because we can't take outside money to help, which we did before, and now that's gone.
Right.
Thanks a lot, Republicans.
Yep. And don't forget, if you haven't cast your ballot yet and you're going to vote tomorrow and you have friends and family who are going to vote tomorrow, make sure they understand what that constitutional ballot will do.
Correct.
They want to change one word. In my estimation, they want to change one word so they can narrow the definition yet again of who is allowed to vote. It does seem like one party is much more concerned with making it accessible to people to vote and the other party not wanting so many people to vote.
Because freedom.
I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Because freedom.
Because freedom.
If you're going to voter fraud, don't voter fraud.
Yeah, don't.
Don't like that. All right. Coming up. This shouldn't be a thing, mic check edition. Ugh. It's on the way. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The foulest stenches in the air. The funk of 40,000 years and grisly ghouls from every tomb are closing in to seal your doom. And though you fight to stay alive, your body starts to shiver. For no mere mortal can resist the evil of the thriller.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Did you get Norske Nook pie for breakfast? Mr. Buck, I don't see any raspberry cream cheese pie over by you, so point for me.
Good morning, Mr. Buck.
Sometimes you're just incredibly mean.
Can we be happy for the fact that Todd Alba is delivering pies? Don't we have the best co-workers here?
Oh, yeah, great. With you literally rubbing pie in my face.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
The right-wing nut pastor named Joel Webbin.
What God's word says is be quiet.
I think the 19th Amendment should be repealed.
Hashtag me too. All you have to do is publicly execute a few women who have lied.
What? Let's dissuade women from reporting rapes by putting them to death.
Only a few women. Preferably the really loud ones.
With hey, makeup. Do I rate?
You absolutely... I was going to get there.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call, text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin. Coming up, the news, followed by Todd Alba, Maggie Dawn, Dom Salvia, and then Peach Wawa. And a reminder, tomorrow, of course, is Election Day. We're going to have special coverage on Civic Media for Election Day. Peach Wawa and I will be starting off at 6 from 6 to 8 p.m. tomorrow night. Starting at 8 o'clock, Todd Alba and Pat Kreitlow will take over, and we will have a cast of thousands. We'll have reporters all over the place checking in from various headquarters as the results start to come in. So I hope you will join us tomorrow night on Civic Media, starting at 6 p.m. It's 11:52. Calvin, that means it is time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing that should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says at civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Donald Trump was in Milwaukee on Friday night. You may have missed this because that wasn't... The news cycles just change so quickly.
And they're here all the time now.
Yeah, it's never ending. So you might have missed this, but this was kind of a standout moment, at least for me. Donald Trump was having mic problems during his rally at Fiserv Forum. Quote, fix the mic, huh? You got to be kidding. Do you want to see me knock the hell out of people backstage? I get so angry. I'm up here seething. I'm working my ass off on this stupid mic. I'm blowing out my left arm. Really? It's that heavy? Now I'm going to blow out my right arm because he had to hold it. And I'm blowing out my throat, too, because of these stupid people. At that moment, Donald Trump took the microphone off the stand and began simulating a sex act on the microphone stand. Social media users reacting to that strange decision. Anna Navarro from The View, quote, ask yourself, what would happen if Kamala Harris did this?
Oh, my God.
Yes, you saw right. This is Trump on stage at a rally pretending to perform a sex act on a microphone. This is not normal. Trump is disgusting, unhinged, and unfit to represent the United States. Vote him out. I have yet to hear a Trump interpreter explain what that actually was supposed to be, because I'm sure it's not what we all saw.
No, of course not. Do we need we need a Trump whisperer? Is there anybody?
We need a Trump whisperer to explain what he actually was doing at that moment.
There's a whole heap and lot to unpack in this whole thing. First of all, I work with microphones all the time in both my jobs. And when things go wrong, you fix them. You do them quietly. You do them quickly. And you don't berate the people who work in there, who are most likely union workers at that place,
right,
doing their job. And you don't try to be the man of the people while also threatening to beat people up. I'm going to, what would the words, I'm going to do what now? I'm going to go something effective, like I'm going to crack skulls or.
Well, I'm up here seething. I'm seething. Do you want me to see the knock the hell out of people backstage? And the crowd cheered.
Yeah. That is not normal behavior to issue even a feigned public threat. But that's, what am I talking about? That's what he's doing all the time now.
Yes. Donald Trump was later handed a wireless mic, but he wasn't happy about that either. This mic is much heavier than the other one.
Ooh.
I can do exercise. I can build up my muscles. I've worked with a lot of microphones, too.
Yeah.
I've never found them that heavy?
I just looked it up. The kind of microphone he had, it was half a pound.
Ouch.
Ooh,
well then.
Good job, buddy. Do some yogas.
Wow.
Do some yogas. Get out there. I mean, it's...
Well, he doesn't exercise because he has genetic.
What? What a whining baby man. I mean, you say you're tough. You say he's the alpha. My arm hurts because I have to hold a microphone. Instead of be like, hey, the microphone's not working. Thank you so much for providing this microphone for me.
Can somebody switch out the mic? Thank you very much.
There are all the ways he could. And instead, just whining and complaining and moaning like the little liberal that you all call people. I mean, seriously, like it's like you I'm the snowflake. I'm the whiny snowflake. This guy's like, my arm hurts because of a half a pound microphone.
Someone get him a lighter microphone.
Oh, please. My gosh. Someone get him a chair to just, you know, take a breath.
All right. That wraps it up for today. That is today's edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers who have been working like crazy on our set in Madison, and everyone else across Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. Thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. We have news coming up next. We are heading to Madison.
Yes,
we'll be
in
the Madison headquarters for you tomorrow, Election Day. Make a plan to go vote, baby. Everybody who's anybody is a voter. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, we broadcast from Madison with Deborah Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters and Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski as we kick off Election Day in Wisconsin.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
He's a comedian, a writer, and an actor, and teaches comedy. One of Wisconsin's own. Dobie Maxwell joins me here on Nightlight. Hey, Dobe.
Pete Schwabba, I am Chico. You're the man. Can you hear me? Is my Amish wood-burning computer plugged into the...
You got Amish.
Experience.
Oh, you got to update, buddy. I got gas powered and it's working like a charm. So it'll change your life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping